I want to start out by saying, first of all, I am wearing rose, not pink. Every year, in the fourth Sunday during the season of Lent, the church will have the color rose. It's called Lactare Sunday, meaning to rejoice. Why? Because supposedly, until now, we have denied ourselves so many things. We have prayed so hard. We have disciplined ourselves so much that we can't wait until Easter. We're going around saying, when is Easter coming? Because I can't do this any longer. And the church, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, gives us a break and say, people of God, take a break, rejoice. Then tomorrow we'll come back to the disciplines of Lent. So that's the meaning of this Sunday, where the clergy will wear rose and the church is decorated in rose and is allowed to have flowers, even though it's in the middle of the season of Lent. It's a relief. But see, that doesn't make any sense to us unless, until now, we have done so much. We have tried so hard. We have disciplined ourselves so well that we would appreciate Lactare Sunday. In any case, we still have a few more weeks of Lent left. And so after today, we can all dive into it together again. You see, for God, it's never too late. So today we rejoice in the graces that God gives to us through the graces of the church through these 40 days of Lent. For the Word of God, we hear of the gospel telling the story of the man born blind who was able to see because Jesus performed the miracle of opening his eyes. Well, the man born blind in the gospel doesn't have a name. And every time we hear of a main character in the gospel that does not have a name, it is meant for us to put ourselves there. So the man born blind in the gospel today is us, you and me. We are all born blind. Well, not, you know, blind physically with our eyes, but our souls. We fail to see many things because our souls, from the moment we are born, suffer this blindness that started in the fall of the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve, our foreparents representing humanity, where God created men and women in the likeness and image of God and placed human in the Garden of Eden in paradise, where there's no death, there's no suffering, and there's communion with God, and Adam and Eve saw God every day as God comes in the evening to take a stroll with them in the garden. And when Adam and Eve looked at each other in the Garden of Eden, they saw in each other the likeness and image of God. Until sin entered, until Satan entered the Garden of Eden, destroyed the garden, and wounded and sowed the seed of blindness in the soul of all humanity. So that at the moment sin entered, Adam and Eve saw and looked at each other no longer when they looked at each other that they see the image and likeness of God. There's a blindness in them now, so that as they were looking at each other, they started to lust after one another and they were ashamed. So they put fig leaves to cover themselves and hiding behind the bush when God came to take the evening walk with them. This blindness of the soul started right there and then, when Adam and Eve could no longer see with innocence. They looked at each other's naked body and they lust. See, the blindness started back then and there. And we, as the children of Adam and Eve, as born into this broken humanity, we all are born into this blindness. So that we often fail to see the things that we are supposed to see. And this blindness tends to take over our lives little and little more and more if we allow it to. If you look at your wife today, if you look at your wife today and you cannot see in that person the soul of the individual whom you as husband said, I want to hold you. I want to hold you close to me for the rest of my life. And henceforth the vow said, I'll take you to have and to hold. From this day forward, unto death do us part. The blindness starts to take over now when you look at your wife and you no longer see that soul. The blindness is taken over when you look at your husband and you no longer see the soul of the man whom you at one time said, I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. And now you look at that same woman and you see something else, lots of other things, instead of that same soul that you fell in love with. The blindness is taken over us if we allow it to, when we look at our children and we no longer see those precious souls that God had put into our arms when we held them the moment they were born and said to God, God, I am the most blessed person in the whole wide world that you allow me to produce this beautiful life, and I will bring it back to you. I will introduce it to you because I am so grateful to you, God. The blindness is taken over when we no longer see those moments. The blindness keeps taking over us when we look at our father and we no longer see that man, the giant man that we used to look up to and say to ourselves, when I grow up, I'm going to be exactly like him. I respect him so much. The greatest man in my life. See, the blindness is taken over us when we look at our elderly father and we never see that again. The blindness keeps taking over us when we look at our mothers now and we no longer see that woman at one time when we said, the sweetest woman I know. And when forever in the, as long as I live in this life, when I am sad, when I need to cry, I am going to run into her bosom. I want to cry on her shoulders because she is the sweetest woman of my life. She is my mom. See, the blindness takes over. That's gone. We no longer see that. When we look around us and we no longer see the person sitting next to me, the person driving on the freeway, the person walking by me, we no longer see that individual as also a human person with flesh and blood like me. And that person hurt like me. And that person can be in pain like me. And that person can suffer like me. We no longer see that when the blindness takes over us. And all we see is our own, whatever it is. We no longer see mom, no longer see dad, no longer see wife, no longer see husband, no longer see children, no longer see anyone except me and my problems. The problem is that we are blind. This blindness of the soul can take over us, my brothers and sisters. And the church on the fourth Sunday of Lent wants to point that out to us so that we may see the answer that the blind man, the man born blind in the scripture, he was able to see because of Jesus. And so the same for us. We will keep getting blinder and blinder, more blind, if we don't see Jesus, if we don't seek out Jesus, if we don't allow Jesus to touch the eyes of our soul and open them up for us. Not only that we suffer from a certain blindness that we inherited from the brokenness of our fate as humanity since the fall of paradise, we also suffer from the kind of blindness that we look and we do not see. We look for things, but we look for the wrong things. We look at the wrong place, and this becomes this blindness in us. You all know about Sherlock Holmes and his smart assistant, Dr. Watson. They went on a camping trip and they enjoy a heavy barbecue dinner with a bottle of whiskey. Then they set up their tent and they fell asleep. Some hours later, Holmes wakes his faithful friend and said to him, "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replies, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" Watson ponders for a minute and he said, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potential billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you?" Holmes is silent for a moment, then said, "Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent." This is our problem. We look and we do not see the thing that we supposed to see. A number of years back, there was a Protestant, now he became a Catholic, evangelical Protestant, with his family, contemplating becoming Catholic at the time. This is a few years back. And he had studied the Catholic Church. He had looked at history, looked at all the things, and he almost there. He believed almost in everything that Catholics believe in, except for one sticky issue, and that was the Pope. He just couldn't get over that, you know, Christ had founded the church and made a man standing in for Christ, calling himself the Vicar of Christ, the Pope. He couldn't handle that. He had a difficult time accepting that one small dogma. And he prayed with his family. I think it was the wife and the two kids. He prayed to God and said, "God, show me the way. If you want me to become Catholic, you've got to show me this understanding, because I don't get it. I don't get this Pope thing." And the next morning for lunch, as usual, their favorite place to eat, to order, to take home is Popeye's chicken. And as they were sitting down and opened up the chicken meal and saw the title, and they said to themselves, Pope, yes. And they all became Catholic. Because God has spoken. Pope, yes. And they've been eating Popeyes for all the years and never saw it. Until that day, we look, but we don't see. This is one of the problems of our blindness, you see. It was a story of a man who was imprisoned wrongly. And he prayed. And his wife sent him, the only thing that the prisoners would allow for him to have was the prayer rug. And so every morning he would roll out his prayer rug that his wife sent and knelt on it with his face in it to pray. 3 times a day he did this, morning, noon, and evening. He prayed his heart out because he was in a dire situation, in prison wrongly. After a year of praying with his face at the rug, he finally realized that his wife had drew a map of a secret door for him to escape the prison in the prayer rug. He couldn't see it until a year later of praying on that rug. You see, God has given us many tools, but we fail to see all the time. Unless we pray, unless we look at the right thing, the right place. And what is that right thing? What is that right place? I'll tell you. Saint Joan of Arc, everybody know. Saint Joan of Arc was being burned alive because she professed the Catholic faith. At the site of execution, there were the priest and the altar boys, like we have at our Mass today, with a crucifix that the altar boy, one of the altar boys, were holding. And as the fire got higher and the smoke came higher, Joan of Arc, you hear Joan of Arc inside the fire with all the smoke yelling out, lift the cross higher, lift it higher. Lift it higher, please. That's what we need to look at in all of our lives, all of our troubles, all of our confusion, all of the things of this life, of this earth. We will continue to be blind, and this blindness will continue to take over us. Unless, my brothers and sisters, like Joan of Arc, we lift our head high and always keep our eyes on the cross. Because it is Jesus who can open our eyes so that we can see.